you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me what's ailing me,
doctor?
Empowerment. Hey, Frank, can you hear me okay? Sound check. 1, 2, 3. Calling Frank, our engineer. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, here on Herb Talk, what's about empowerment? Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about, first part of the show, some innovations, some change for mankind by the year 2030. And we're going to hit healthcare and stuff like that. We're going to see what the experts are predicting now. And we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face. I'm mining the time because it grows short. Today's devotional puts us in Malachi 3, where it says, Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Ooh, you want to be in the book of remembrance. You've heard about the book of life, but the book of remembrance is where God lists the names of all his children that he considers his jewels. Yeah, the cream of the crop, possibly. You want to be in that book. And the only way to do that is have a close relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, because there is only one way to the Lord God, and that's through the Lord Jesus. So mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. You'll have to tell me, Frank, when to speak, because I am having, I'm flying blind, as it were. Now, okay. All right, first up in the quack report, hey, you probably heard about the Bayer executive bragging about the mRNA shots were really gene therapy, but they were marked as vaccines. They're marketed as vaccines, but that's not what they really are. Yeah, this was a speaking at the World Health Summit 2021 in November. Bayer Pharmaceutical Division President Stefan Ulrich admitted they were not in it for the pandemic. The experimental injection has been seen as an extremely high rejection rate. So what he was saying in this thing, in a nutshell, was they surveyed people, and if they asked them to volunteer for gene therapy, most of them said, no. And so they kind of hid that fact, and they marketed it as a pandemic, But, you know, they're saying they're doing it for your own good. It's opened your eyes. They're saying this is opening the eyes of many people to the innovation, the skills and the technique and the techno gadgets we have to help them. Yeah, right. Bayer's president highlighted innovation, which is a common description used in science today as they attempt to reinvent humanity into a vision and change that they want. That's what they want. Moving along in the quack report. COVID, they say, can shrink your brain as much as a decade worth of aging, according to this study. This is a study that COVID can damage your brain. Scientists found it highlights the illness can have an alarming impact on neural function. Researchers identified the COVID associated with brain damage months after an infection, including shrinkage in the region linked to smell. So the changes, they say, were kind of linked to cognitive decline in their study that did get published last Monday in the Journal of Nature. Last but not least in the quack report, Israel Health Ministry survey has found an increase in a vaccine injury from boosters. This is a survey by Israel Ministry of Health. They found that Israelis reported more vaccine injuries after getting the COVID-19 booster doses. So the survey followed the Jewish nation approving the third and fourth dose of its citizens. Hey, Frank, I can hear again, but it's an echo. Okay, Frank's working on a problem. He's the master on the board. So the survey identified Israel several changes or categories of vaccine reactions, both in men and women. It was also scrutinized by the subset of respondents regarding their female menstrual cycle. So for the women, it affected reproduction. So according to the poll, six different categories of pre-existing diseases became worse when these people got their booster shots. Heart disease got worse by 5.5%. Hypertension was exacerbated by almost 6.5%. And 7% of the respondents claimed their booster aggravated their lung disease. Wow. So 9.3% of respondents said their diabetes got worse. Depression, anxiety disorders became worse in almost 27% of the surveyed applicants. And 24% of the respondents had autoimmune diseases said their condition was exacerbated by the booster shot. And about 5% of the respondents said that neurological adverse events were present. Almost 4% reported allergic reactions from the boosters. So there you go. Can you imagine, Frank, if an herb did that? Yeah. It'd be taken off the market so fast your head wouldn't have time to spin. Yeah. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Okay, Frank, did you run my quacker? Yeah, it's now. Okay. All right, so we're having some technical problems. Frank, and you guys can hear me, but I can't hear Frank. I can't hear the soundboard either, so we're working on, well, Frank's working on that. But I'm just going to talk. Hey, Frank, I just show up. I'm the talent. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the innovations, the change. If we're mankind, they want to buy 2030. Yes. So we're kind of listening to the presentation. It's all over the internet by the Bayer president, Stefan Ehrlich, that I mentioned, stating that medical science is under what is described as, quote, innovation. Now, I notice the word is used a lot now in the scientific community. So they are changing many areas of human life through technology and regulations that may shock some people. So I thought we should, you know, take a look at what's predicted to occur within our healthcare and some other sectors by 2030. So research is now on changing things. So the Pew Research Center, they published this document June 30th, 2020. It was titled The Innovation Experts Predict by 2030. So they talk about social media, technology, artificial intelligence, politics, and of course the health sector. Now, I want to just, you know, focus on the health sector and what affects the health sector for now, because medicine is one very important vehicle for world power, as you have just witnessed recently. So according to the Pew Research Report, the world should be a healthier place with new monitoring innovations, especially for the mental health area. Here's a quote by their report. They say, "We expect innovations in every realm of physical and mental health. There will be significant change for the healthcare industry and healthcare professionals in which individuals will be able to care for themselves." End of quote. Well, technology surveillance will be a major factor in healthcare moving forward. So artificial intelligence will actually change the way healthcare operates and reduces the human employee workforce involved in it. So according to Professor Jason Hong, he's with the Human Computer Interaction Institute at Carnegie Mellon University. So there are several innovations in the works there. They have some prototypes. They are monitoring a person's mental health and physical health. What'd you say, Frank? I'm already able to care for myself. Yeah. Oh, Frank. Yeah, just bring it home, hon. Well, okay, but see, they don't think you know that, Frank. See? They don't think you do know that. That's the problem. They live in a different mindset. Okay, so the technology is going to monitor social behavior as well as predict a person's next action, okay? And the monitoring will know if you intend to drink or eat too much, and they're going to document all this. So an individual will lose social scores with bad diets, for instance. So the monitoring will force people to make better decisions about what affects their health. It's going to force you to do that. You can't have that soda. You can't have that second glass of alcohol. See, you can't have too many carbs. You know, you can't. So it's a big, you know, it's a big, well, what do you want to call that? Monkey on your back kind of thing. Yeah. So it's a control freak. It's a technology control freak from hell. It's what it is. So the monitoring will force people to supposedly live better lives and take better care of themselves. See how that works? Now, one question is, who's going to decide what's good for you and your health? You know, most likely it'll be a computer program fed data selected by whoever decides what people can have and can have not. So if you think about it, people will be screened pretty much 24/7 you won't have to go to the clinic for screening. You're going to be screened all the time. That's a scary world, the future. What'd you say, Frank? And the beatings will continue under moral, improvs. Yeah, exactly. So once they get, control of banking in a cryptocurrency, digital world, they can make you do anything they want, or they think they can, by just, threatening to cut off your access to funds. See, that's the scary world. See, so let's get through this list, because it's some interesting stuff these people are predicting. They say there's a social network that will influence people. This is Ray Junko, Director of Research for Tech College at Tufts University. He stated that your social media will be a big influence within healthcare moving forward. He says, quote, social and civic innovations will substantially midgetate with healthcare tied to digital life. I don't think I like that term, digital life. I don't feel like a human being when I'm described by my life in a digital way. So it kind of looks like social media and smartphones will be kind of under heavy surveillance, according to what they're describing, with regards to deterring any public conversations that can cause mental or emotional harm. And according to Junico, he says this smart technology is already part of people's lives, and it's considered, quote, virtual community space, end of quote. So consider your social media and smartphone not your personal property, but is owned and controlled by a governing power like a community park or pool would be. Okay, certain things you can and can't do there. So the reason given is that some of these technologies can promote unhealthy behaviors, and this needs to be highly regulated and controlled. Here's a quote from Junico. He says, smartphone technology has developed a way to include controls to limit the user's screen time. Yep. So he says the new phones may also have less rather than more of these distracting features, such as cameras and video capabilities. He says the flip phones that send and receive calls and text messages will be back in fashion. Interesting, huh, Frank? I don't know if people want to go for that. You know, Captain Kurt's communicator is old-fashioned. So I don't think they're going to go for it. Well, then they talked about environmental health also in their report. The era of saving the planet will also be seeing some innovations as well. Brian Southwell, he's director of the Science Pacific Sphere Program at RTI International at the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. That's over near Raleigh, if you want to know where that is. He states our, quote, human core needs will change with environmental health. He goes on to say, a period of rapid technology will change how we are facing environmental challenges. Social media platforms will offer more human connections to grow the innovation innovations needed, end of quote. People are going to come up with new ideas to say planet Earth. And I'm all for, cleaner environments and stuff, but, there are limits. And then there's more gene modification. Yep, innovation's coming down the pike there. Many of the research facilities are involved in gene therapies and new technologies to introduce them. So both Shane Kerr, he's an engineer with NS1 Internet Security Technology, and also Denise Rail, she's a researcher at Southern Cross University. They see innovations in the gene technology sector, and much of the research is funded by, proposals that hope to find cures for like cancer and other diseases by modifying genes. However, there seems to be another agenda underneath this research. Here is a quote by Denise Rail. She's a researcher at Southern Cross University. She says, unless Google and other tech companies can substantially reduce the population, We are stuck in an unattainable position to support the world's economies that are fixed on growth and is no longer sustainable. I can't believe she said that. I mean, really. But, you know, here we are in the population reduction pandemic, right, Frank? Well, let's look at this new infrastructure they mentioned, too. A surprising prediction actually came from an Australian by the name of Matt Moore, who's an innovation manager at a Disruptors Handbook in Sydney. He said, according to his thinking, the human race will remain human, okay, and that healthcare will be more accessible to more people. The question is, will it be quality care? Yeah. So Moore also states that chronic diseases will be more manageable, but he doubts that human behavior will improve. So he believes the news media will not exist, but the education sector will improve. And Moore also thinks big tech will remain in some form, but not the internet within 10 years. It will be replaced with tech plus physical infrastructure. What do you think of that, Frank? So it's not really clear if he means, you know, the bionic implants will enable people to connect to information they need without external devices. It's really not clear. But privacy, he says, will be a big deal in the futuristic world. So people are wanting to get back to privacy. I don't know about that. I think people are kind of being conditioned to not even think about privacy, aren't they, Frank? Well, let's look at the data, the data sets. Everything's driven by the data. So with all the innovation and the advancements in big tech, there is the question on how it will all be managed. According to Susan Aronson, she's a research professor of the International Affairs at George Washington University. She says the overall information governance of all this innovation is concerning. She says innovations and governments are investing substantially in healthcare, and we will see lots of innovation there. There will be significant regulations as it will be pushed to be available to all. She says, I deeply worry about the governance in the developing nations where consumers of data-driven services like artificial intelligence won't be effectively used. The governing of data can be particularly weak in these areas. Without a strong feedback loop and lots of expertise, the public trust won't survive because data is a development issue. End of quote. What do you think of that, Frank? You agree with her? How do you guard and protect information like that? Especially, you know, people want to protect their, you know, health care records and stuff. Their social security number. Well, I guess that's going away. I think it's all social score stuff, isn't it? It's coming. You know, trust score by Bill Gates and all that. So data security did come up in the report, and how can big data for healthcare and the finance sector be 100% secure? Well, the field experts are skeptical about it. Here is a quote from Haywood Sloan. He's an entrepreneur and banking securities consultant. He said, I'm less confident about where and how data security and content integrity will play out. I'm not talking about adequate sets of tools. I'm talking about pressure from governments and big tech influencing it. End of quote. Well, yeah, the nature of man, right? So artificial intelligence, we've heard about this. This is interesting. You know, even some of these experts in the field of artificial intelligence are kind of conservative about its continuing innovation. So for the most part, this area is really not expected to slow down. Here is a quote from Susan Ettlinger, industry analyst with Atomir Group, who says, we need to let go of the techno-solutionism, the notion that problems caused by technology can only be solved by more technology, end of quote. So, according to Ettlinger, more and better technology does not answer the need for transparency and deliberative decision-making, she says. Technology, according to her, has roots that have root causes and not just symptoms that need addressing. She referenced gender and political bias in data sets. She goes on to quote, "If you want to be considered trustworthy, it's important not to equate bias reduction with fairness, as technology can only take us so far. It's up to us to be constructive and adjust." She says we need to be adjusting our data sets to keep up with mankind, legislative fairness, and all that. Yeah, so that's what she's saying. Well, you know what? The other part is you can trust God to guide you instead of artificial intelligence and big tech and all this social stuff. So we do know that, you know, Scripture does speak of the corruption of the future. And no matter how great the tech is, the nature of man can change things. Greed, control, manipulative, all those really dark sides of behavior. So I look to the natural solutions for everyday problems. Medicinal herbs have a solid track record of providing a lot of vitamin and mineral nutrition to help the body heal itself. So if you learn how to use medicinal herbs, and it's not hard to do that, it's going to be empowering. It's going to empower you for sure. Now, if you want to get familiar with the medicinal plants, you know, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and get their free product catalog. You're going to learn how to use your immune support herbs, your metabolic strengthening herbs, and your toxin removal herbs. It's not hard. You can do it. Give them a call. Ask for the information. It's free. The catalog's free. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972, or visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless, and you might want to check out their pandemic kits, their heart attack packs, and a whole bunch of other stuff they have. And by the way, they have a spring sale. Woohoo! You're going to save 30% on orders of $65 or more. Use the coupon code POLKADOTS when you check out online or over the phone. And you want to hurry because as supplies last and the sale ends on March 27th, 2022. So you definitely want to get your orders in as soon as you can. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Ooh, I'm long in this break. We got to take one and we'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
As we age,
age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
Every time I say that, I think the Independence Day movie, I'm Back. Remember that at the end of the movie where they take out the alien ship? Dennis Quaid, I'm back. Are you sure? Yeah. All right, we're going to be talking about a little bit of smallpox. We've covered smallpox before, but here's the interesting thing. I covered this topic back in 2017. So I thought we'd kind of revisit snippets of that and cover some of the research stuff back then. Kind of interesting to kind of take another look at it. Now, in July 2017, these were the scientists at Alberta, Canada. They were reporting in the Journal of Science that they could create a deadly pathogen in their lab. That's right. So this report was stating that their researchers ordered some DNA fragments of the smallpox virus from a company that supplies made-to-order pathogens. And they created what is described as a non-life-threatening horsepox virus. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, mail-order pathogens, and for as little as $100,000, scientists could possibly create the next deadly pandemic. Ta-da! Well, let's look at what this says. This is St. Louis University scientists. They were saying this. Although smallpox was declared officially eradicated in 1979, and routine vaccinations against smallpox ended in the United States in 1972, many experts fear that classified samples of the virus have survived, making it a major bioterrorism concern. End of quote. So, yeah, I might be saying, you know, why would they keep stuff like that around? Well, it's a good question. You know, why scientists would want to resurrect any part of a deadly virus like smallpox. You know, the research team at the University of Alberta in Canada stated that their research could one day influence the development of better vaccines, including a smallpox vaccine. So it is the scientific really accolades that these scientists are after or maybe it's something else. But scientists working with deadly pathogens like smallpox are required to be vaccinated with the virus. So, according to the CDC, the smallpox vaccine can produce serious life-threatening side effects. So, what are the side effects that seem to be motivating these lab scientists? Well, here they are. Injection site pain and soreness, swollen painful glands of the armpit, fever, insomnia, toxic allergic rash, very contagious, by the way. Also, virus spreading through the blood that breaks out in other areas of the body. Gross. A life-threatening case of eczema frequently leads to death. Oh, death by eczema, Frank. Encephalitis, swelling and inflammation of the brain. That's not fun either. So, yeah, I guess if you are a lab scientist working with these pathogens and you're required to take this risky vaccine when it would be, well, maybe a motivator to try to improve the thing, right? However, what makes them think that they would be able to improve it and be able to avoid any vaccine risk is beyond me. So they're trying to make new vaccines, and making a smallpox vaccine, pretty scary business, and it's kind of frightening. It would be created in an attempt, you know, they're making an attempt to inoculate people with it. So they're injecting that disease into you. So the Canadian scientists are working with the pharmaceutical company Tonix to make a new vaccine for smallpox. And other scientists and Canadian colleagues have voiced concerns that the vaccine has been in heated topic debates. And the research for this vaccine was completed. They completed the animal test phase. But according to the lead research scientist, David Evans, he feels this work is of a huge benefit. It must go forward. Evans says this, the world just needs to accept the fact that we can do this, and now we have figured out the best way or the best strategy for dealing with it. So he's telling people, would you quit worrying? We're in charge. We know what we're doing. Don't worry about it. I worry anyway. Well, not worry, but I'm concerned. People like this. So what this research has done really is shown us that science can synthesize biologic agents thought to be eradicated and bring them back to life. So it also reveals that the scientists don't have all the answers yet, and they're learning as they go. And David Evans was accurately stated. He says, given the advent of synthetic biology, it's no longer possible for society to entirely rid itself of the threat of smallpox or other dangerous pathogens. Did you hear that, Frank? Because they can synthesize stuff now, you'll never be rid of it. Now, according to the World Health Organization's recommendations to avoid a catastrophic plague event, they say no institution should be allowed to possess more than 20% of the smallpox genome. I don't know about you, but this statement really doesn't make me feel safer. And another reason is a quote by Dr. Phil on why men do risky and harmful things. Dr. Phil McGraw, remember him? TV guy? He says men do what they do even though they shouldn't, be simply because they can. What'd you say, Frank? Days of Noah. Noah and his family were spared because their genetics were not polluted. Yeah. The Nephilim, the giants in the land, right? Right? So basically, they're doing it because they can, you know? And there's people just assume there's all these regulations in place and policies and protocols and stuff, but people ignore a lot of it. The people in these facilities don't really follow a lot of that protocol. The hospitals don't either. That's why their ratings are so low. That's why you have a lot of, you know, hospital-borne infections, because people aren't following protocols. So the current smallpox vaccine, not the new one that's in development, was tested by the Mayo Clinic in 2013, and they found the vaccine does not always work, and concluded these test results. They said vaccine action depends on the individual's genes, which can alter the response. Also, they said genetic differences caused lower immunity from smallpox. So scientists have been studying the smallpox virus and vaccine for decades. And in 2009, immunology scientists at La Jolla Institute of Allergy and Immunology, they found that the smallpox vaccine contained a flaw that would give millions of people a deadly form of eczema or dermatitis. So an estimated 17% of children in the United States suffer from eczema, and scientists estimate that smallpox vaccine offer 10% risk to kill them. Mm. Also, eczema is caused by vaccines. Mm-hmm. That's where you're getting them. Dr. Rafe Gahan, chief immunologist of the National Institute of Health, said this: people with active atopic dermatitis or eczema, or who have outgrown atopic dermatitis, and the people have currently, and they currently live with and cannot receive a smallpox vaccine because they'd be contagious and increase the risk of, to family of developing a deadly eczema. There is a significant portion of the United States that are in this situation not eligible to receive this vaccine. Yeah, just tell them, I've got eczema. Can't have the shot. Let's see what they do with that. Now, under the Bush administration, President Bush in 2002 announced that the smallpox vaccine was available to anyone who wanted it. Ooh. And the administration also prescribed the smallpox vaccine to be mandatory to the military personnel, hospital ER employees, and special smallpox pandemic response teams. So Dan Rather of CBS did a report on the vaccine. Remember Dan Rather, Frank? Well, he did a report and found scientists and physicians alike do not like the risks of this vaccine and what it offers. He said in his report, scientists say it's not the most dangerous vaccine known to man. The vaccine does have a dark side, though. Not the most dangerous vaccine? Really? Well, that was before COVID, right? So during the CBS News report, the viewing audience discovered that the smallpox vaccine used by the United States government and by medicine is the same vaccine that was developed in 1796 by Edward Jenner. The very word vaccine stems from viruli vaccinae, which means smallpox form of from a cow, and Jenner developed the smallpox vaccine after observing milkmaids who contracted smallpox did not show signs of illness, though. Remember that, Frank? Jenner? So Dr. Paul Offit, infectious disease specialist, you know who I'm talking about, he said, we know if we immunize a million people with smallpox that some people will suffer severe permanent adverse outcomes, and some have even died from the vaccine. Not all of the vaccines we use today are a result of modern technology. This is the cause with smallpox vaccine, and because of its side effect profile, and if it were not a grandfathered vaccine, we would not accept it for a vaccine today. Whoa. Because it's been used before, we'll just keep it? Even though it doesn't pass mustard if you're making it today? This is scary thinking, please. What'd you say, Frank? Yeah, but those milkmaids were not jamming poison pus into their muscle mass. Well, thank you for that visual, Frank. But accurate as it is, oh, my word. Okay, so what does Paul Offit go on to say? He said the smallpox vaccine in some people will create progressive vaccinella, an immunized system that is going to be compromised. So the smallpox virus just continues to grow and grow until it causes death. Oof. Yeah, makes you want to sign up for it, right? So scientific medicine attempts to claim the public fears, attempts to calm the public fears by stating some absurd statistics that the deadly side effects only happens in 500 people out of a million. Offit's comments prove that vaccines infect people with the disease and you take your chances after that. Dr. Offit also encourages inoculations because he says the notion that humans can pass on immunity is just a theory and there are no reliable studies to prove it. But he encourages you to get vaccinated anyway. So obviously the good doctor's education is lacking since there have been studies that breast milk and colostrum pass on immune molecules to the baby. Such a study was done by scientists at Brigham Young University, Stanford in 2008. So yeah, you get that jab, you pass it on to the baby. Absolutely. Here is from Dr. Eric Wilson, microbiologist at Brigham Young University. He said, why is breast milk good for the baby? One reason is it carries protective antibodies, which shield the newborn from infection. And this study demonstrates the molecule mechanisms used by the mother's body to get these antibody-producing cells into the breast milk. Yes, so passing on protection to baby. The natural way. What God designed, see. So just taking a deadly pathogen and sticking it in the freezer, you know, doesn't mean later on somebody's going to do something with it. Author Richard Preston, he wrote the book The Demon in the Freezer. He states that smallpox is a scary disease, and he feels it is worse than anthrax. He says Ebola and bubonic plague even. Preston goes on to say he feels the smallpox pathogen is a biological weapon equal to a nuclear bomb. So the reason he says this is the disease is far worse than the others is because it can spread on its own unless it is stopped. So he states that plague teams calculate the multiplier of the virus or the mortality rating, and smallpox rates a 10. That's big. So this is the equivalent that for every infected person with smallpox, they will infect 10 more people with the disease. So the only effective way to stop it is to quarantine and the infected individuals. So are those vaccinated with smallpox contagious, and could they start a pandemic? Typically, if you get vaccinated with a virus, you shed that off for at least 2 weeks, infecting other people. Dr. Gregory Polin at the Mayo Clinic says this, a major concern with smallpox is making sure the vaccinated don't spread the virus by touching the injection site and then other parts of their body, increasing the risk of transmission to other people. What if a child touches it, a pregnant woman, or someone with HIV? They could potentially die as a result. So if there is a large population outbreak of smallpox, how our tools are limited and we don't know anything, everything there is about treating smallpox, he says. All we can offer is comfort care and see if the patient recovers or dies, end of quote. Scary, isn't it, Frank? So here's a patient warning. Other than those with the history of skin dermatitis or eczema, who else does medicine state would not recommend get the smallpox vaccine? Infants, pregnant women, HIV patients, anybody that's had transplanted organs, you're on immune suppressive drugs, don't take the shot. Cancer patients shouldn't take the shot. Those with autoimmune diseases shouldn't take the shot. Why don't we just say everybody shouldn't take it? Yeah, that's what I think. What'd you say, Frank? You said, yeah, but those, what? I know, he's still thinking. He's not done yet. All right. So we're kind of told by medicine that the question of whether to use the smallpox vaccine on mass populations is if there were an outbreak or to prevent one. Kind of playing the odds is how they look at it. Here is Thomas Frieden, New York Health Commissioner. In 2002, he said this, "Yeah, we admit that some people may die from the smallpox vaccine, but according to medicine, a few hundred people to save millions is worth it." That's if you're not being lied to, Friedman, you know, by medicine. Mm-hmm. However, no one really knows for sure what the casualties would be from the vaccine itself. They just don't know. So it is all just kind of a guess, a theory. And according to author Richard Preston, quote, "If there is a smallpox outbreak or a bio attack, it leaves us with a dangerous gamble, the disease or the vaccine." Preston also feels that it is not a matter of if we see a smallpox attack, but when, because the disease is held in human hands. That's what it is. It's in human hands right now. And he says the human heart is dark, has dark corners to it, the nature of man. Currently, the United States has enough smallpox vaccine on hand to vaccinate the entire population. What about the military version? So in 2008, the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy reported that a new smallpox vaccine was in development for the military, and this vaccine was to be given to U.S. enlisted personnel. The military discontinued using the Dryvax smallpox vaccine made by Weath and started using the Acme 2000 manufactured by Acambus Pharmaceuticals that was also approved by the FDA. So millions of the military personnel were vaccinated who were at high risk of exposure serving in, let's say, the Middle East. And the vaccine was produced by the latest technology. And Dr. Arfit spoke of it with they growing the disease on African green monkey kidneys and then harvest it in vero cells to allow rapid large-scale production of the vaccine. So six studies proclaimed the new vaccine to be safe, offering no serious side effects. And here were the side effects: itching, swollen lymph nodes, sore armpit, fever, headache, body aches, rash, fatigue. And that's what they said the new vaccine gives you. What did you say, Frank? Did you say in 2007? So is, what did you say? Yeah, who's running the operation? A coyote running the operation? Yeah, that's the new one, supposedly for the military only, though. Okay, so they've been working on just the military. I don't know why, but that's what they were saying. I would consider inflammation of the heart muscle, the lining of the heart, myocarditis, a serious side effect, and that occurs in one out of 175 of the military that got vaccinated with that. So it also produced a serious side effect of systemic spread of the virus, a serious eczema condition, and encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain. So it wasn't just, you know, some minor side effects, was it? No, no, no. So how is the smallpox vaccine administered? It's not through a single syringe. It's through a forked pin. And that increases the chances for some reason of getting eczema. That's kind of creepy. It's like a Poseidon's fork, and they jab you with this stuff and inject it into you. It's not just a needle. It's, yeah. All right, so we've been told that people with eczema should not get the smallpox vaccine due to an increased risk of contracting a deadly form of the skin dermatitis. Medicine also says it does not know the cause of eczema to begin with. They claim they don't know the cause of nearly all cases of inflammatory skin disorders, and they simply just label it dermatitis. So, kind of got me thinking, and the childhood vaccines causing eczema to begin with, some children are more sensitive to conditions than others. So it turns out that medicine states, quote, this is WebMD, it's thought that eczema is linked to an overactive response to the body's immune system to an irreverent cause of symptoms of eczema. So that's what medicine thinks it is. It thinks it's your immune system gone crazy. But I know of no stronger irritant to the body than in its defenses than an inoculation. Now, Dr. Larry Palvisky is a board-certified pediatrician that looked closely at the clinical data on vaccine studies and his own observation after years in practice, and he stated that the reason mass amounts of children have atopic illnesses or eczema is because of the vaccines. So there is scientific evidence that is very thorough. A combination of vaccine agents are also influencing this as well. Here is what Dr. Larry Pavinsky stated. He's with the New York School of Medicine. He says, atopic illness means allergies, asthma, eczema, hay fever. So that's what your vaccines create. See? So you got natural defenses. Don't mess them up with vaccines, because that's what happens. It disrupts the immune system response. Especially with all these squalene and adjuvants, it really messes up your immune system response. So your immune system is your natural defense for disease, and there are medicinal herbs that strengthen those defenses, works with it, not against it. More people are dying from prescription drugs than from pandemics. And in the event of a real outbreak, you know what I plan to do? I'm prepared. I'm going to empower myself with God's medicinal plants. He provides protection. He says, herbs are here for the service man and the healing of the nations. God can't lie. And also read Psalms, Proverbs 91. It's a special prayer of protection against plagues where God won't let the pestilence come near you or your dwelling. See? Take your herbs. You know, trust in God. He can't lie. Man lies. Science lies all the time. So put your trust where you know it's going to really benefit you, God, the Creator. So if you're interested in learning more about his medicinal herbs that will help protect you, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their free catalog, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Psalms 91. Sorry, Frank. Did I say Proverbs? I meant Psalms 91. Thank you, Frank. Thepowerherbs.com, if you want to check them out online. Don't forget their spring sale of 30% off or orders of $65 or more. Use the coupon code POLKADOTS. Ends on the 27th of this month, so do your due diligence and get it done. Get it done before they close that out. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.